Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already and you're still hanging around with us, you're ready to get smart, aren't you? Because, and then you're going to because Doug Tatum is our guest. Doug's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the founding chairman of Tatum LLC. That's an organization that you ought to know about if you've been listening to my show, because I've been doing an interview once a month, primarily with Sam Norwood, but in the early days with Doug, and talking about the survey that they conduct. Tatum LLC is a firm that lets you hire technology experts and financial experts without you can rent them, folks. You don't have to adopt them. That's one of the things I liked about their business model. Doug has a new book out that I'm very excited about. It's called No Man's Land, and Doug and I have been talking about his ideas on No Man's Land for a long time, and it's all about when your business is too small to be big, and too big to be small. Doug Tatum, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me, and I wouldn't have written that book without your encouragement.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad you wrote it, because it's outstanding. And ladies and gentlemen, if what I just said, I promise you that, Doug, there are lots of people across this planet whose ears perked up, whose antenna ran up when they heard me say something like, are you too big to be small? Are you too small to be big? I mean, that happens all the time. And I used to see this phenomenon when I first really noticed it when I was a consultant back before I started this gig, and I was a consultant to small businesses. And the first thing that I saw, the first place where it kind of popped up on my radar screen, was when they outgrew their local bank.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I've testified before Congress on, which we cover in the book, is the issue of the capital gap, Jim, as you well know.
Right.
I was listening to your previous segment, and you were talking about how credit cards, under right circumstances, are great to help someone start a small business, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what happens. What we found is that folks that start businesses, there's not a problem in this country getting capital. I mean, it's credit cards, second mortgages, friends and families. There's a point, however, when the business grows to a level where it needs more capital than an individual can repay personally, which means the capital markets have to transfer to relying on the business rather than the individual.
Right.
And that's
the balance sheet of the business.
That's exactly right. You go from the balance sheet of the person to the balance sheet of the business. And unfortunately, the capital markets aren't set up to deal with the balance sheet of the business until you need a lot more money,
right?
And you're a lot bigger, and so that creates a capital gap that you and I have been worried about in this country for a number of years.
There's no question about it, and I've helped companies find their way from the local bank to a large national bank, and the company isn't prepared to deal with the almost prohibitive covenants that the contract would have with that large bank, the fees that would be involved, the preparation for that, of getting an audited financial statement, getting their receivables and their inventory clean as a hound's tooth, as they say over in
right.
where you are in Atlanta, Georgia.
Doug,
and all of that takes a professional level of management that a lot of businesses have to deal with that as they're growing from being too big to be small.
Well, you're right. In fact, what we just laid out is a transition in what we call the money. There, we believe that you can describe this transition along four M's: a transition in the market, the management, the economic model, and the money. And we're talking about the transition in the capital markets, and you're correct. And it's the original material, as you know, was No Man's Land, where growing companies fail,
mm-hmm.
and it is a gauntlet that an entrepreneurial leader needs to understand as they move into that business transition. And it is important. You know, what you do is very, very important, because the economic engine of this country is those companies that break out of being small and start transitioning into larger companies, and that's unknown territory for the leader of those companies.
Well, exactly. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break in a few seconds, folks. And when we come back, I'm going to get Doug to sort of give us a few more examples of what it might look like when you're too big to be small, too small to be big, and what some of the challenges are, and what you can do about them. And we'll talk about that, and that'll be right after the next break. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Doug Tatum is our guest. His book is called No Man's Land.
I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dawn surprise. I'll be with you, darling. Oh, I was warned about her love. Welcome
back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Doug Tatum. Doug is the author of No Man's Land. He's an outstanding, highly successful entrepreneur. Started a financial and information consulting company and grew it from nothing to the premier organization in his industry. And what do you got? Over 1,000 professionals working with you now?
Right around 1,000, partners and employees. Yes.
You know, Doug, you guys were only at about 300 when you started doing my show. Look what's happened since then.
Absolutely. Hey, that's why when you call, I'm here.
I'm always glad to be able to help people out, Doug.
I'll give you credit for that.
Just teasing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just having a little fun. Hey, Doug, let's get back to the snowman's land thing. When and of course, Doug, it's a figure of speech, folks, because, Doug, I know you agree with me, there also is no woman's land.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure that was debated by my publisher before he got on the cover.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there was plenty. And I don't know any women who own a business who are in this condition who would argue with that. They completely agree with your figure of speech. But regardless of whether you're male or female and you're in a position of growing your business, Doug, one of the things that I have 3 laws of small business, and one of those laws, the third law, is it's easy to start a small business. It's not easy to run and grow one successfully. And you talk about that in your book, too.
Yes, it isn't. And I think that one of the things that your audience needs to understand, first of all, is that it is completely ethical, honest, and wonderful business to stay small and be a small giant, as Bo Burlingham calls it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain businesses where the market is going to force the entrepreneur to grow or die, or most likely the entrepreneur has happened upon a value proposition, made a promise to a customer that drags them into this territory, excuse me, and they are facing growth beyond what a small business set of rules allows them to run.
Well, absolutely, and the thing is, if you feel that you're headed in that direction where you're not going to remain small, you're either your own personal desires or whatever, you know, this tiger whose tail you've got is dragging you into growth. There are certain things that must be done. You must start developing professional executive folks, you must start building professional financial information, including audited financial statements, don't you?
Yes. In fact, I want to start with your because you were a consultant helping these companies, you have an instinctive understanding of this transition, and you use the term "if you feel like you're heading that way." Well, that's exactly the first indication is that we describe it as that entrepreneurs feels like they're losing control. They feel like what got them to a certain level is not going to work anymore or isn't working anymore. The old rules don't work. So it's a feeling of being lost in unknown territory. A lot of these folks use geographic metaphors to explain it, hence the term no man's land. But you also brought up an indication. There are some transitions that happen, and probably the most emotional, just beyond emotional transition, is the issue of the folks that are in your inner circle when you're a small business,
mm-hmm.
most likely will not make the transition as you go larger.
Right.
And there are stories.
It doesn't mean that they won't stay with the company. It just means that you'll probably have to have a conversation with some or all of them and tell them where their position is going to be and that they're not going to be working for somebody besides you.
Well, yeah. I mean, what do we all do early on, Jim, when you don't have money to pay good people? Will you give them what? Titles.
That's right.
And those titles are not going to remain with these folks. And some of them can be put into other places within the business, but a lot of it's up to them. And it's a difficult transition. You're going to lose some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
There's stories in the book where one guy who controls about 5% of the music industry today in terms of musical instruments, he almost quit that whole business rather than deal with this issue with one of his loyal inner circle when he was small.
Right.
Very emotional.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of, some of those emotions, folks, and this is something that many of you are feeling right now, in whether even if you're not growing that fast, and the two twin emotions I feel are frustration. You feel frustration when you can't accomplish what you want to accomplish because of lack of capital, lack of personnel, or whatever. There's extreme frustration, and then you start feeling, when the frustration can't be fixed, then you start getting into fear, don't you?
Yeah, in fact, there's a great Jerry Clowers joke about how that feeling is. It's, you know, folks going out raccoon hunting, you know that about in the South, and the guy climbs up in a tree to shake the big raccoon down, and the raccoon turns on him. He tells his partner, shoot. And his partner says, no, I might hit you. And he says, it doesn't matter. One of us needs relief.
No, it's not relief.
And that's exactly what you just described. Both the employee and you have reached an unspoken understanding that it isn't working. And I have not interviewed a entrepreneurial leader yet that didn't wish he had taken care of that issue sooner rather than later.
When we come back after this next break, folks, I want to get Doug to help us, give us some ideas about how to get prepared financially. I really want us to focus on some of the financial steps we can take. Just little steps, baby, folks, little baby steps that we can take that will help us get ready just in case you decide to grow to that next level. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Doug Tatum is our guest. His book is No Man's Land.
And we are airplanes today.
Do it or die now. Stand your ground. Don't let your bad brains go getting you down.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Doug Tatum, the author of No Man's Land, the founder of Tatum LLC, and that's Tatum. That's TatumLLC.com. Is that right, Doug?
That's correct, Jim. Fine.
And where's the book available, Doug?
Well, the book is available at the usual suspects and on the internet and the bookstores. And 1-800-CEO-READ is another good place that we found those folks up there do a good job of getting.
Does the book have its own website?
No, it doesn't.
You should have one. You should get one of those.
I'll take that advice.
I know you don't. I know you don't have anything to do. You're kind of just kind of wondering what to do next. But seriously, you ought to have some. You've got too much good stuff here that I think people can use and that would help sell the book too. But I'm going to encourage you to go find nomansland.com or something and put up a website. Doug, let's talk about some of the steps. Let's say there's someone right now who's saying, you know, Doug, I aspire. To no man's land. I aspire to get to that. They would consider that to be a high class problem, to get their company into a position where they had to solve that problem. And by the way, folks, it is. Doug, would you agree with me that it's almost certain that if you grow your business and you continue to grow and you grow, that you will pass through no man's land at some level?
I will argue with anyone that there is no getting around it.
There's no avoiding it.
No, it is a seminal initial transition for business breaking out of the small business bank.
Now, it doesn't mean that you'll spend a lifetime there. You might only spend a year there. Who knows? Yep. Depending on how you prepared you are and how and other things that happen. But you will spend time in no man's land. And, Doug, help us with some of the financial steps that you can do to get prepared for this.
Well, I think that the first thing, interestingly enough, is it relates to understanding what your value proposition is. And let me explain this. Most businesses early on are built on a high performance cheap labor. Mm-hmm. In other words, many of your audiences have a passion to do something or work for themselves. They probably could make more money working for somebody else than they could in their own businesses early on.
Absolutely.
And so one of the first things that we talk about in the book is that you've got to define and understand your economic model, how your business makes money at scale, in other words, at larger volumes, outside of high-performance cheap labor, because ultimately you cannot build a business strictly on high-performance cheap labor. Many of the audience out there will refer to why they're in business as the great service, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, great service is code for high-performance cheap labor.
That's right.
They get the entrepreneur's intense loyalty, expertise at a very, very fine price, and that's how they win their first customers. But as you grow, there's got to be a value proposition that you can identify that your customers will applaud you for above a normalized cost structure. In other words, that cost structure is you're going to end up having to pay people what they're worth, and then your customers have to applaud you for what they do above that cost structure.
Right. Then that's a good fundamental thing to keep in mind, folks. But Doug, as you're building this, as you're developing, you know, your business model so that it's high performance, but also where you're getting paid a decent living.
Right.
You also have to attend to the company's finances. I mean, people, you know, it's shocking to me, Doug, how many small business owners don't even have financial statements, let alone audited financial statements. And folks, I don't think every small business should have an audited financial statement, but if you plan to grow your business to the next level, you better become familiar with audits. What do you think, Doug?
Well, absolutely. First of all, it's like personal hygiene. If you're going to grow, you're going to have accurate historical financial statements. And I've always encourage the entrepreneurs to kind of stick their toe in the water initially. Get a review rather than an audit. It's less expensive. It will get you into the concept of having an outsider review the accuracy of your financial statement.
Right.
If you go to your local accountant and say, I want a review of my financials and I'd like to have you confirm my receivables and inventory, for example.
Yeah.
As you enter in the capital markets, as we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. will start relying less on you personally and more on your company's balance sheet. They have
right.
to have some comfort that what you put on that balance sheet is actually what it is.
And that comfort has to come from another professional, an outside evaluator.
That's right, and that's referred to as an audit.
That's right.
I'm
afraid we're going to have to stop. You have so much more to teach us. Will you come back another day real soon?
All you got to do is call, Jim.
Doug Tatum, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called No Man's Land. Even if you don't plan to be huge, you still need to know about this book. I encourage you to find it. Thanks, Doug. See you next time.
I appreciate it.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.